Ja Leuvonnan Amity Elijah Davis, Minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th Hour Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is September 11, 2017, or it is 8/21/2021. We will start our first service today with a song entitled The Haven of Rest. My soul in sad exile was out on life's sea, so burdened with sin and distress, till I heard the sweet voice say, make me your choice. And I entered the haven of rest. I painted my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep, or the wild storm may deep. In Yahshua I'm safe evermore. Yielded myself to his tender embrace, and faith taking hold of the word. My fetters fell off, and I anchored my soul. The haven of rest is my yard. Anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep, or the wild storm may deep. In Yahshua I'm safe evermore. The song of my soul since the yacht met me home has been your story so blessed. Of Yahshua who saved, whosoever will have a home in the haven of rest. I anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep, or the wild storm may deep. In Yahshua I'm safe evermore. How precious a thought that we all may return, like John the beloved in blood. On Yahshua's strong arm, when old tempests can harm, because in the haven of rest. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep, or the wild storm may deep. In Yahshua I'm safe evermore. Oh, come to the Savior, he patiently waits to save by his power divine. Come anchor your soul in the haven of rest, and say, my beloved is mine. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide sea tree, the world yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We're on page, look like, 38. I'll do a review from a study yesterday. It says, the light on this subject was spread as far in the stubble until it finally illuminates the whole earth. Jeff White, keep up the good work, my number two David in Africa. I guess I'll just call you David number two and be done with it. Keep up the good work. Appreciate that picture you sent us. Very encouraging for us to know that the little mustard seed is growing. And we pray for y'all. I just told my wife, I said, I've got some physical problems that I've got to be healed of. And as soon as I get healed, I feel impressed to come to Africa. So, me and my wife, I want you and your group to pray for me twice a day. Or at least you pray for me twice a day that Yahweh will heal me 100% where I can travel without any problem. I'm about 90% there, but I still got about 10% I've got to go. It's been a slow process, but I'm getting stronger every day. I won't tell you what my real problem is, but I've had it for 50 years, and I've known it. I kind of like Paul, had a thorn in the flesh. But Heavenly Father is bringing me through it, and my being my wife, we're doing real well. And I feel strong and impressed within a year to come to Africa. But as soon as I can get myself well and sell off all my excess stuff I have here that I don't need, I'm going to use that money to come to Africa. And we need to do a revival and reformation over there. Of course, you can do that. You can start the revival. You already have, matter of fact. So I'm just going to leave go at that. And we're going to talk about this sermon today, whether we're doing a part three of this here, The World Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow. And I'm going to back up a little bit more. Whom does Babylon personify? Okay. It says, now that the light has completely dispelled the darkness which has long enveloped this subject, the student of the prophecy can plainly see from the symbolism that in the first place, Babylon personifies the forthcoming ecclesiastical, political, economic system of the nation, not some institution or organization. Second, that the beast she drives is a figure of her dominion. And third, that it is about to pass from prophecy into history. Now, this is present truth today, folks. Not just 70 years ago, when about 65, 70 years ago, this tract was written. Oh, it was very much present truth then, but more so today. Indeed, it is already beginning to loom up out of the haze, as did the shores of America under Christopher Columbus and his companions as they approached the great western continent. For the beast being driven by the woman, Babylon clearly reveals three important truths. First, at the call of Yahweh's people to come out of Babylon, Revelation 18:4. Now, what happens today when you go into the Adventist Church and you take the everlasting gospel of the kingdom to the people, and those that hear you, they have to come out of the Adventist Church, and they have to come into the place where Yahweh chooses to place His name, and that name is with the messenger, the one that brought the message to them in the first place. And they are invited to come out into a sure dwelling place, into the kingdom. So when you go into the Adventist church and you get young people or anyone to come out and join you, they are joining the kingdom of heaven here on earth. That's the way it is today. So tell your young people, and I like to tell them myself. I'm addressing them. Tell them that I saw their picture. I am very thrilled. They look like a handsome group of people. And I'm just so proud that I can say these are the results of the truth that we have taken a hold of here in this country, that I took a hold of in 1970. This is the result of my taking a hold of the truth right out of the Adventist church. I came right out of the Adventist church, right into the kingdom with Willis W. Johnson. So I was one of those 32-year-old youths back then. And so it says, first, for the beast being driven by the woman, Babylon, clearly reveals three important truths. First, that the call of Yahweh's people to come out of Babylon, Revelation 18:4. Now this beast, this woman driving the beast represents the fields of the world that the Catholic, the old dragon, Lucifer, Satan, the old dragon, which translates into the beast. Now the beast represents his organized churches around the world, with Rome, the Vatican, at the head of it. And Mystery Babylon has joined her. And Mystery Babylon says, I'll only join you if you'll let me be your religion in the place of Catholicism. So Mystery Babylon, made up of Catholicism, Muslim, and all of that conglomeration of everything in the world. So she said, I want to be the representative of your church. So she drives the beast. She works all the fields all over the world. All of the harvest fields that we would go into the fields to harvest, she's already gone in there and planted her seeds, and she's driving this beast worldwide. All right, first, that the call of Yahweh's people to come out of the Babylon, Revelation 18:4, is a call for them to come out from among the nations. Well, when you go into the Adventist church, Brother White, Brother David, number two, you go into the Adventist congregation, and you get these people to come and join you, then that's calling them out of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. That's in all of the nations. Seventh-day Adventist Church has already consolidated with Babylon, well, along with the rest of the Sunday-keeping Christian world, Protestants. And so when you go and pull somebody out of the Adventist Church, you're pulling them out of Babylon. So Revelation 18:1-4, come out of her, my people, come out of Babylon, let you be not partakers of her sin. This is the last call, all right? This is the last call for Adventists. And the last call, and where they come out of when you give them the last call? They come out of the Adventist Church. Well, where's the Adventist Church at? She's deeply rooted right back into Babylon. So, actually, you're getting the first fruits to come out of Babylon. They're coming out of the Adventist Church, coming out of Babylon. And then you go into all the nations after you get all your first fruits out of the Adventist Church. Then you go and take the first fruits, and they are filled with the Holy Spirit, and they go into all the world, getting their brethren out of all nations in all the world. First, you get the first fruits out of the Adventist church in all the world. Okay? Keep that word consolidated. That's a new word that we have picked up on. Adventist has consolidated with Babylon. The Baptist, the Methodist, and all the Protestant churches have consolidated with Babylon. So when you go and see that mystery woman Babylon riding on the seven heads representing all the collective Christian organizations of the world, and knowing that those Christian organizations have been transplanted on the head of that beast, and the Catholic Church is your head Christian church on those seven heads, it's a co-mingled with the Adventists. That's that seventh head, Laodicea, co-mingled with the Adventists that has a deadly wound on it. And it's healed. That's your Catholic Church being healed through the Adventist Church. And here, Jeff, Brother David, you go into the Adventist Church and you start calling these people out by the Spirit and they come out. What are you doing? You're calling them out of a consolidated Babylonian situation of Adventists with Catholicism that's consolidated back into Babylon. All right, enough said on that. Okay, now, is a call for them to come out from among the nations that are symbolized by the beast, which she is driving. Ruling, which she is driving, or she's ruling. Second, that the called ones are to come out from her sin-filled dominion, because it is to be ruined by the plague. And third, their coming out necessitates their going into a place where sin does not exist and where there is no danger of the plagues falling. This is coming out of her dominion. Must be they're going into the Yahweh's kingdom. Now, isn't this amazing? V.T. Hall have had this insight. I mean, how many years ago? I don't have an exact date when he wrote this tract, but it looks like 1941 here. So that was well over 70 years ago. That was close to, that's over 75 years ago. So, okay, it says, then the warning against receiving the mark of Revelation 14:9-11, along with the call to come out, will be repeated with an exceeding loud cry throughout the Babylon's dominion. Both those who find themselves in her dominion and those who find themselves out of it must then immediately decide to receive the seal of Yahweh instead of the mark of the beast. If they want to escape the wrath of Yahweh, to do this, the former class must come out of her and the latter class must stay out of her despite the death penalty for taking such a stand. Revelation 13:15. There must be no hesitancy or indecision on the part of either class. Those who are in the Babylon must heed the voice which says, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. Revelation 18:4. What happens if you say, well, I'm going to stay in the Adventist Church, because the Adventist Church is not Babylon. I'm not, and the Adventists will argue with you and say, I'm not in Babylon, I'm in the Adventist Church. What happens if they stay there and they don't come out to come into the kingdom? When the plagues fall on Babylon, you think that the Adventist Church is going to escape them? Not on your life. You see what I'm talking about? Revelation 18:4. And those who are out must carefully heed the warning. If any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of Yahweh, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with the fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Revelation 14:9-10. The light on this subject will spread as far in the stubble until it finally illuminates the whole earth. Okay, Africa, you have got a good start. Your candle is burning brightly. You've got 700 million people, at least, there in Africa that needs to be ministered to. And once you start this ministry, and you already have, and they start coming in by the thousands and the millions, then all of those that in Africa, you have them there just like we have them here in America. You've got the good and the bad fish. The bad fish will either die off, be destroyed one way or another, or driven out of the country. And one day you'll have nothing but all righteous living in Africa. And then Yahweh will make a covenant of peace with the animals and free them up as well. Okay? So it says, the light on this subject will spread as far in the stubble until it finally illuminates the whole earth, Revelation 18:1, and all who walk in this blaze will have their names placed in the Lamb's Book of Life. They will find deliverance from the enemy's last determined effort to plunge the world into the bottomless pit of the eternal ruin. For them, said the angel, shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book, Daniel 12:1. The symbolism now leads us to the final phase of the beast. The beast of Daniel 7 and the leopard-like beast of Revelation 13. Came up from the sea. But the two-horned beast came up from the earth, verse 11. And the scarlet-colored beast stood in the wilderness, Revelation 17:3. So to find the geographic location of each beast's government, it is necessary first to ascertain the symbolical meaning of the sea, the earth, and the wilderness. The sea locates the territory of the five beasts. Since in the realm of the nature, the sea is the storehouse, home of the waters, therefore in the realm of the symbols, the sea must be the birthplace of the nations, the old country. The five beasts, the lion, bear, leopard, and the nondescript beast, along with the leopard-like beast, coming from the sea, denotes that they represent kingdoms that have arisen in the old country, just as history confirms. Inasmuch as the sea locates the territory of these beasts, obviously then, the earth locates the two-horned beast's domain. As the birthplace of the nation is symbolized by the sea, then the earth, the opposite of the sea, locates the domain of the two-horned beast away from the old country, but to find exactly which one of the new country's governments it stands for, we must consider the characteristics of the beast itself. His two crownless horns shows two non-royalist rulers, while their lamb-like appearance forecasts youthful innocency, and his having the power to dictate who should buy and who should not show that he represents a nation that leads in the control of the world's wealth and industry. The United States of America is the only government in the world that answers to all these specifications. For it originated in a new world, the earth, not in the territories of the ancient world, the sea. It is the only government which is lamb-like, useful, and Christian, established upon the innocent principles of peace and liberty. Okay, this little two-horned beast, lamb-like, that roars like a lion, speaks like a dragon, is founded upon the principles of peace and liberty, having two non-royalist ruling parties, crownless horns, the Republican and the Democratic. As a symbolical sea and earth, along with the beast, characteristics perfectly locate the abode of each beast. Likewise, the wilderness locates the scarlet colored beast domain. And that wilderness is found here in the earth, in the new world. Not in the old world, the United States. By contrast, a wilderness is the opposite of a vineyard, and since a vineyard is figurative of the home of Yahweh's people, Isaiah 5, the wilderness can only represent the home of the Gentile. The beast being in the wilderness indicates that at the time it comes into existence, there is a vineyard. Obviously, it would be superfluous to designate the wilderness if the whole world is wilderness. For the full details concerning these symbolical beasts, read the Shepherd's Rod, Volume 2. For the certainty that both the vineyard and the wilderness are in existence at the same time shows first that Babylon, riding, ruling the beast, reigns only over the wilderness Gentile world, and second, that from it are Yahweh's people called to go into the vineyard, the kingdom restored. So, the kingdom restored. Well, the kingdom restored will be restored here in Texas, and everything outside the borders of Texas is called the wilderness of the people. That makes sense? All the different races of the people have already come into the United States, and they dwell in all, including Texas. They dwell, but Texas is the allocated place for the vineyard of Yahweh. Whereas the wilderness is outside her borders. So now, the original borders of Texas would make Texas two or three times larger than what it is. It would make Texas almost half the size of the whole United States if she was to reclaim her original borders, and which she will. Not only will she reclaim her original borders once she set up as an autonomous, independent nation again, but she will rule over all of the wilderness of the United States. The rest of the states in the Union, the United States, will be ruled over by the vineyard. And then, when you purge out all the wicked out of the whole United States, then the whole United States territory becomes the vineyard. In other words, the vineyard grows. As you get rid of the wicked, clean out all the wicked, the vineyard expands its borders. Well, what happens when each state gets rid of all the wicked out of each state? Then that becomes a part of the territory of the vineyard. In other words, the people have been set free in their individual states. They have their own tribe, their own autonomous government, but they are set free. So it just may very well be that the United States is going to be divided up into 12 regions for the 12 tribes of Israel. I know the world, the Illuminati, have set it up in 10 regions, the whole world in 10 regions, not 12. All right, let's continue on. Let's read that last paragraph again. For the certainty that both the vineyard and the wilderness are in existence at the same time shows, first, that Babylon, riding, ruling the beast, reigns only over the wilderness Gentile world. And second, that from it are Yahweh's people called to go into the vineyard, the kingdom restored into the house of Israel. Called to come to the mountain of the house of Yahweh, Isaiah 2 and Micah 4. The mountain of the house of Yahweh, which is the house of David. This is what they call the headquarters of the vineyard. In other words, these are people that follow Yahweh's government, keeps all of His holy days and keeps all of His commandments. That is the vineyard. So wherever you find a group of people, like in Africa, when you people, the people that are coming into the kingdom over there with our brother David over there, they're coming into the kingdom, he's inviting them, and they're coming in. They've been brought into the vineyard. Now, what do these brethren do when they come into the vineyard? They go back to their brethren that they were associated with in the Adventist church. And when they invite whoever will follow them out of the Adventist church, will follow them into the vineyard. Or the everlasting kingdom set up, being restored. And what restores the vineyard and the kingdom? When all of Yahweh's preordained people that are called out of Babylon comes into it, then that is the kingdom restored 100%. As long as you got one left out there in Babylon that needs to come, the kingdom is not 100% restored. Okay, now let's go. Where there are no sins, and where there is no fear of their receiving the plague, of this kingdom of safety, the prophet Daniel wrote, and in the days of these kings shall the Elohim of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left unto other people, but it shall break in peace and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever, Daniel 2:44. And in the days of these kings shall the Elohim of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left unto other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever, Daniel 2:44. The subject of the vineyard now necessitates the analysis of of the 12-star crowned woman and its remnant.
And her remnant.
The 12-star crowned woman and its remnant. Let's read that again now, what I just read. The subject of the vineyard now necessitates the analysis of the 12-star crown woman and her remnant. For it is self-evident that the woman Babylon is a counterfeit of the woman that brought forth the son of Yahweh, Revelation 12:1, of whom the scriptures say, and when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness and into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent, Revelation 12:13 and 14. To begin with, we see from the scripture that the woman left her vineyard, homeland, Palestine, and went into the Gentile world after her children was born. That is, in her Christian period, when the dragon persecuted her through the instrumentalities of the Jews. Acts 8:1, 13:46, and 50:51. Next, we see that after she was there for some time, the conditions became such as to hinder her longer nourishing herself, and that it therefore became necessary if she be nourished by someone for a time and times and half a time. 3.5 years after Yasir's resurrection, the church left Palestine Vineyard. And while she was in the Gentile world, wilderness, the serpent cast out of his mouth water as it flowed after the woman, forced the heathen to be baptized into Christianity and to join the church, that he might cause her to be carried away, heathenized, of the flood. Verse 15. While thus flooded, she had to be nourished, sustained by the Yahweh, because many of her followers were heathenized, and nearly all of those who were not were carried to the death by the flood. So, had he not nourished her, kept her in existence by a miracle, the congregation would have perished during those dark ages of the religion. True, she had been able to nourish herself since the Reformation, but the unconverted flood are still in her midst. She has, however, this promise of the rescue. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Verse 16. Or literally stated, the unconverted who are now in the midst of the church are to be slain and buried. The converted are then to be taken into the kingdom. Then will the dragon be wroth with the woman and make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of Yahweh and have the testimony of Yahshua, Messiah. Verse 17. Stirred to fury over her purification, the dragon will make war with the remnant of her seed against her personally, though he will not war because her communicants, the 144,000, the first fruits, Revelation 7:3-8, and 14:4, those who go first into the kingdom stand with the Lamb, a king on the Mount Zion, Revelation 14:1, his polished crown. Thus, being the rulers of the tribes, they are symbolized by the crowned woman, and being in their own land, they are protected from the dragon, who consequently persecutes only the remnant, those who are left behind, who are still in battle, but who are finally called out of her, Revelation 18:4. For the full particulars on the Revelation 12, read The Shepherd's Rod, Volume 2, page 84-82. The first fruits of the kingdom come as a result of the shaking, the separation in the church, as is demonstrated by the parables of the net and of the field. The good fish are removed from the net, the church, and put into the vessel, the kingdom, Matthew 13:48. And the wheat is taken from among the tares and put into the barn, the kingdom, verse 30. As bad fish, they are cast away, as tares, they are burned. For a detailed study of the harvest, read tract number 3, The Judgment and the Harvest. The second fruits, however, those that are still in Babylon after purification are taken from among the bad, Revelation 18:4. Rather than the bad from among the good, Matthew 13:49. The dragon's warning against them is occasioned by their having the testimony of the Yahshua, the spirit of prophecy, Revelation 19:10, by becoming commandment keepers instead of worshippers of the beast and his image. The dragon's aim is to keep them from coming out of Babylon and thus from going into the rapidly growing kingdom. Then it is, though, that the world shall behold all of Yahweh's people coming out of the Babylon's dominion into their own land. Okay. For the truth is now being clearly established that the scarlet-colored beast is the symbol of the dominion over which reigns Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. It follows that her boundaries but extend as far as the boundaries of the nations that bow down to her authority. Therefore the call, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sin, that ye receive not of her plagues, Revelation 18:4, is a call for them to come out of her dominion, that they share not in her sins, nor receive of her plagues. Those who respond to the Yahweh's bidding must, of course, have a sin-free place to go to, where they may dwell safely, though there be neither bars nor gates around it, Ezekiel 38:11. To this haven they shall be brought forth out of the nations, and there they shall dwell safely, all of them, Ezekiel 38:8. So all thy children shall be taught of Yahweh, and great shall be the peace of thy children, Isaiah 54:13. Elohim's people at that time can no more serve the Yahweh in Babylon and in Egypt than they could have in the days of Ezra or of Moses, for when the plagues are poured upon the Babylon, as the fire and brimstone were poured upon Sodom and Gomorrah, then if they be living among the worldlings, they can no more escape the damage of the plagues than Lot could have survived the fire had he stayed in Sodom. To all who want to escape the foretold ruin, verily must come out of Babylon, as Lot and his family came out of Sodom. And it shall therefore come to pass in the last days that the mountain of Yahweh's house shall be established in the top of the mountain, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it, and many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up unto the mountain of Yahweh, unto the house of Elohim of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against a nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Isaiah 2:2-4. Read also Isaiah 11:11, 12, 15, and 16. Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whether they be gone, or give them on every side, and bring them into their own land, and I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king unto them all, and they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all, neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will save them out of all their dwelling places, wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their Elohim. And David, my servant, shall be the king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them, and they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob, my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, even they and their children and their children's children, forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them, yea, I will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, the Yahweh, do sanctify Israel when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. Ezekiel 37:21-28. In the confirmation of the truth that the Yahweh's people are again to become a kingdom, Ezekiel's prophecy of a new division of the land, the prophet presents a division of the land entirely different from that of the Joshua's time, Joshua 17. It is to be in strips from the east to the west. Dan is to have the first portion in the north, and Gad the last portion in the south. Between the borders of these two are to be the portions of the rest of the tribes, for the sanctuary is to be in the midst of the land, and adjacent to it is to be a city. See Ezekiel 48. So we're going to have a replica of the city of Jerusalem from heaven. It's going to be set up here on earth just like it is in heaven. The fact that such a division of the promised land has never been made shows that it is yet future. Also, the fact that the sanctuary is to be there, whereas it is not to be in the earth made new, Revelation 21:22, positively proves that this unique setup is premillennial. Moreover, the twofold fact that the name of the city is Yahweh is there, and that its location, according unto the division of the land, necessarily it must be different from that of old Jerusalem, shows that Jerusalem proper is not that city. So this new Jerusalem is going to literally be a new physical Jerusalem city built right here in the land of Israel again. Okay. Moreover, the scriptures plainly point out that the Gentiles will be driven out of the Holy Land. No wonder those Greek Orthodox Jews want to build that third temple. But they don't want that. They haven't made no plans to build a third city. It's just a third temple. The Bible calls for a city and a temple to be built. Well, it says the Gentiles will be driven out of the Holy Land. So when Solomon built the temple and he built the city of Jerusalem in the time, okay, there you have it. It's got to be restored. Then lifted I up mine eyes and saw, and behold, four horns. And I said unto the angel that talked with me, what be these? And he answered me, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. And the Yahweh showed me four carpenters. Then said I, what come these to do? And he spake, saying, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, so that no man did lift up his head. But these are come to fray them, to cast out the horns of the Gentiles, which lifted up their horn over the land of Judah to scatter it, Zechariah 1:18-21. Here we see first that the heathen powers and the scattering of Yahweh's ancient people are represented as four horns. And later in their casting out of the Gentiles, they are represented as four carpenters. Thus it is predicted also pictorially that the Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles only until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Luke 21:24. Read Ezekiel 36:37, Jeremiah 30:31. Although our first question should be, what shall we do to avoid giving allegiance unto the enemies of Yahweh so as to be found worthy of a place in his kingdom? When this evil time shall come, yet the majority make their first question, who is God? For one to try on his own resources to explain who God is for him to try to do the impossible, a venture which can result only in disappointment. This is seen in the fact that although the Bible plainly states that the place of the unwalled villages is in the mountains of Israel, Israel's own land, Palestine, where the fathers of the Israelitish nation dwelt, yet men have attempted to tell us that it is in America. Okay. Well, there is a promised land here in America. This is where V.T. Hoda didn't have any light on this subject at that time. You have a new Jerusalem here in the United States and a new world. If you've got a new world designated by prophecy, which America is, where you have a vineyard and a wilderness of the people, where in these last days people are going to be brought into this new world. This is a new world, folks. Israel of old and the Middle East is the old world. America is a new world. We've got a lot more to learn about this transition of the old Jerusalem to the new Jerusalem. That new Jerusalem may very well be set up right here in the United States. So it is that in their own craftiness, the Yahweh will spoil and judge the nation. And they that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth and shall sit on fire and burn their weapons, both the shields and the bucklers and bows and arrows, and the handstays and the spears, and they shall burn them with fire 7 years, so that they shall take no wood out of the field, neither cast down any out of the forest, for they shall burn the weapon with fire, and they shall spoil those that spoil them, and rob those that rob them, saith Yahweh Elohim. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will give unto Gog a place there of graves in the Israel, and the valley of the passengers on the east of the sea, and it shall stop the noses of the passengers, and there shall they bury Gog and all his multitude, and they shall call it the valley of Ham and Gog, and 7 months shall the house of Israel be burying of them, that they may cleanse the land. Yea, all the people of the land shall bury them, and it shall be to them a renown, the day that I shall be glorified, saith Yahweh Elohim. Therefore, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob, and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel, and will be jealous for my holy name. After that they have borne their shame, and all their trespasses, whereby they have trespassed against me, when they dwelt safely in their land, and none made them afraid. When I have brought them again from the people, and gathered them out of their enemies' lands, and am sanctified in them in the sight of many nations, then shall they know that I am the Yahweh the Elohim, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen, but I have gathered them unto their own land, and have left none of them any more there, neither will I hide my face any more from them, for I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, saith Yahweh Elohim. Ezekiel 39:9-13 and 25-29. For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations, and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. Proclaim you this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords, and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen. Then get yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Yahweh. Let the heathen be wakened, and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Joel 3:1-2 and 9-12. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goat, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Matthew 25:32-34. But unto them that are at his left hand shall he say, And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Matthew 25:46. For a complete study of the kingdom, read track number 8, Mount Sinai, at the 11th hour, and track number 9, Behold, I make all things new. Well, we just got through doing, Behold, I make all things new. These are some of the future events that are soon to follow in quick succession in the ushering in of the kingdom. Then follows the closing of the probation and the pouring out of the seven last plagues, which shall fall upon those who figuratively stand on his left hand, those who are outside Palestine. Then while the plagues are falling, the mightiest of all battles will be fought, the battle of that great day of the Yahweh Almighty, the long-expected end of the world, the Armageddon, Revelation 16:12-16. Folks, this is probably going to be fought right here in the United States, right here in the New World. Coming back now to our present world crisis, since it's previously mentioned, the crowned kings of the day, Revelation 13, have already dwindled to a handful, and since the churches and their cry for the peace and safety are endeavoring to clasp hands with one another, we should do wisely now to inquire into the current events that may fulfill prophecy. Okay, this brings us close. Let's do this. Our contact us at the 11th hour. Calling us number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Draw me now, Holy Spirit, by the Elijah Davis. Oh, y'all, I have been better than all this world's early home. Many times I stared at the door, and felt many times I would not let you go.
The floor.